We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey guys, what's up? Kevin Jones, founder of Blue Wire. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Do me a favor, send it to one of your friends. We're growing this network, grassroots style. It takes everyone. You're a part of our team if you send this to one of your friends. All right, enjoy this podcast and appreciate your support.
Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time. Welcome to another week of In the Know. Mason, it's been the end of the season, and I don't know if you've been following the news, but in case you haven't, I want to break it to you personally. You're fired.
I don't know what to say.
I just saw all of these front offices making their choices at the end of the season, and, you know, clearly – in the 18 hours or so it's been since the last ball was bounced, the front office has done a vigorous overtaking of what the season was like, and they've come to the conclusion that they need to move on. And I admire the way many NBA teams have done that. So I want to follow in their steps and fire you.
I just want to know what gives you the authority to make such a podcast altering decision.
Authority is for those who take it, Mason.
I'm not even sure who's in charge, so I'm going to object and just keep talking, and we'll see what happens. If you want to keep trying to fire me and find someone to replace me, good luck, but I'm still going to be here.
Okay, good point. I will take that into consideration and bring it to management.
Which is also us.
In any case, welcome to another week of In the Know. It's been a wild last couple of days in the NBA season. We're going to focus on a little bit on the Pelican stuff, a little bit on the stuff that's gone around the league, and then obviously get into the GM talk, which, you know, knowing us, there is probably a non-zero probability that the GM is announced while we're recording this. So, hooray! In any case, the Pelican season ended a couple days ago. There were some notable things that came out of that night. First and foremost, before the game even started, Anthony Davis walked into the arena wearing a Looney Tunes t-shirt that read, "That's all, folks." So that was pretty corny, right?
The first thing that came to my mind after I saw that was that him and Durant are just meant for each other. I mean, they're gonna be their corny selves in New York together happily ever after, and we'll take Zion and move on with our lives.
It's just weird because, like, clearly both, you know, him and Durant really care about their image, and that's why they do these things, but they always manage to say the wrong thing. It's a constant foot and mouth syndrome.
Just own it. Like, if you thought that what AD did regarding the shirt was funny, yeah, fine. If you enjoy that type of humor, more power to you. But the way he talked about it the next day and at the, you know, the end of season media availability was just
that was even worse.
So much worse. So much worse.
If you haven't paid any attention to this, Anthony Davis came out and said that he does not pick out his own clothes. He was handed that shirt to wear, and whatever is given to him, you know, each game someone prepares him an outfit and he just puts it on.
He is a
3-year-old.
It's like in Anchorman when they say that, you know, anything that you put in the teleprompter, Ron Burgundy will read. Like, it's the same thing. Doesn't matter what it says, even if it gets him in a lot of trouble, but he's going to do it.
No, it's unbelievable. Just own it, bro. Come on. Embrace being the villain if you want to be the villain. Like, stop trying to play to all the sides.
Yeah, or just say, you know, I didn't think it through that well, and I apologize. But instead, he did neither of those things, and he just said, I heard what people said on social media, like that it was for Space Jam 2 or is it not against Pelicans, and he didn't address any of those comments. He just said, I just don't pay attention to it, or I can't remember his exact words, but he just, like, he doesn't answer anyone's questions, or he doesn't own anything. So
okay. But even if, you know, he was handed that shirt to wear, presumably he is a person who can read words. Presumably, right? Surely he could have, you know, seen what that shirt said and been like, hey, I don't know about this.
Don't know about this one. I'm not too sure. This is a good idea. Nope. Well, easier just because, to just not think about it.
Yeah, it's because we all know that he wasn't handed that shirt. I mean, let's be real. In any case, Davis had fun. We played a competitive game against the Golden State Warriors, in which our big men showed out. Boogie tried to have a revenge game. He played all right. But Jahlil Okafor set a season high with 30 points. Christian Wood had 26 points and 12 rebounds. Fun night from them. Ian Clark had his random end-of-season antics. Hooray. Pelicans lost. It cemented their spot in the Great Tank War of 2019. So right now, the Pelicans are tied with the Grizzlies and the Mavericks in a three-way tie for 7th, 8th, and 9th. Tomorrow being Friday, the NBA is going to do a random drawing to determine those spots. All three spots have an equal chance of jumping into the top four, which is about 26.3%. So tomorrow we should know, in case the Pelicans don't jump into the lottery, where their pick is going to fall. Something of Pelicans' concern here is that the Grizzlies will convey their pick to the Celtics if it lands 9 or higher. So at the end of the lottery, if the Grizzlies are at 9, it goes to the Celtics, which potentially can come back to the Pelicans in an Anthony Davis trade. So fun stuff in the lottery area. But after the game, Alvin gave a post-game interview. You know, he was asked about the game, kind of asked about his final thoughts of the season. And he had two very interesting things to say. One being Anthony Davis being extremely relevant to what, you know, his stupid shirt antics. Alvin basically said, you know, Anthony's he's a really solid kid. He's a good kid. But I think he got some bad advice. I think it was really big for Alvin to come out and just say that publicly, to express his opinion like that. Because typically, you know, you ask him about Davis, he's deflected. He's, straight up said he's not going to talk about it. He said, let's talk about the team that I have in front of me. You know, at the end of the season, he was like, I don't care. It's the end of the season. I think Davis got some bad advice, which, you know, I think that's something you would agree with, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, it's something I think maybe if he was 10 to 20 years younger, he may not have gone that far. But just being Gentry being where he is in his career, he's a very established professional. He has not been afraid to speak his mind previously, but I think just the right, the kind of perfect storm of events and where Gentry is and feeling, he clearly feels pretty comfortable about where he is. No reservations with making that comment now that the season's done. So I agree. I think that was a pretty, pretty impressive thing for him to say.
Yeah. And he kind of built upon his end of season, you know, screw it, I'm going to say what I want, in which he said, in 31 years of him being in the NBA, this is the most toxic situation he's been around in terms of the fallout. It cost Dell Demps his job. It caused, and this was asked in reference to Magic Johnson stepping down, which is a topic we're going to cover for sure. Stay tuned. But, you know, he said, you know, it caused Magic Johnson to step down. And he just says it's a toxic situation, which is kind of insane. You know, I think wasn't Alvin on the Clippers staff with the whole Donald Sterling thing going on?
Yep.
Yeah. So this is honestly insane.
Yeah. It's I think the thing is, and I'm shocked that it's probably because it's maybe a little recency bias where it's more toxic than Donald Sterling, but that's kind of like a slow drip. Like every now and then you hear something about Sterling that's messed up, and then I mean, conversely, like this was just like such a heavy part of the team every single day for about 2 to 3 months, and that combined with it being, you know, top of mind, I can understand where Gentry is coming from. But yeah, again, like you said, pretty crazy thing to say.
Absolutely wild. I feel for Gentry, but you know, it's been a rough situation all around. And I think a lot of people are relieved that it's over. There weren't too many other things of note in the postseason exit interviews from the players.
Come on, man. Gentry said we're making the playoffs next year.
Oh, yep. My bad. We're making the playoffs. Gentry might not be here, but we're making the playoffs.
Hey, that's the perfect way to do it.
Right. So I think, you know, there was your standard comments from players like, yeah, I would love to be back and those kind of things. And Drew's like, yeah, I would love Alfred and Julius back. So, you know, good stuff all around there. Moving on, you know, after the Pelicans gave their exit interviews, the next 48 hours or so leading up to now have been kind of insane over the NBA, in which basically everyone and their mom has been fired.
My mom too now? Come on, man.
Bro, telling you, authorities with those who take it. First, we can start off with Magic Johnson, which I was at the Pelicans game when this happened. It was during the Pelicans game, and it was before the Lakers' own game tipped off. And I was sitting in the seats, get a notification from Shams that Magic Johnson has stepped down from president of basketball operations with the Lakers, and he's doing an impromptu press conference. This dude just literally walked up to a podium and was like, you know, yeah, I resign. I'm not doing things anymore. Insane.
It is. I like the picture that he just walked into some room with a podium and nobody was there and just started talking.
What if he was like just rehearsing his speech and then like a reporter showed up? It's like, oh shit. Better go live with this. it was wild because just the morning before, an article had come out on The Athletic detailing basically the catastrophe the Lakers season has been. And, you know, it painted the picture of Magic Johnson as an absentee executive who wasn't really around the team all that much and showed up at all the wrong times, and his decisions impacted the locker room pretty heavily. Basically saying none of this season has been handled right by Magic, which is true. But, you know, I guess Magic didn't like that press he was getting. He essentially, in his press conference, he basically said, yeah, I'm quitting just so I can tweet some more. He's like, I don't like not being myself. I don't like not being able to congratulate, you know, Russell Westbrook. I don't like, you know, not being able to talk to Ben Simmons, which is like, you know, I feel for him because I understand, you know, being limited by a job and not being able to do what you want to do. But like, come on, man. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Do you see, I don't remember what article this came from, but I saw it this morning that apparently Pelinka, in order to kind of draw, he would walk into a room during the season and say, hey, where's Magic Johnson? Has anyone seen Magic Johnson? Because knowing that Magic Johnson was not around, just to draw attention to the fact that he wasn't around.
Pelinka used to do that?
He was doing that apparently last season.
Oh, my God. And they're giving this dude more power. And this is a dude that other teams and executives just don't want to deal with because he did shady stuff as an agent. Good times in Lakers land. But the another thing to complicate the situation was, you know, just the day before Magic had met with ownership and they had decided they were going to fire Luke Walton. And Luke Walton and staff were fully expecting to be fired right after the game. And Magic was like, yeah, sorry. Oh, and then he said he didn't even tell Jeannie Buss. He didn't even tell the owner that he was going to do this. He just
– like I said, man, he was just in an empty room with the podium rehearsing. And you said – you called it. You said rehearsing probably. And then some reporter walked in and he's like, oh, shit, I guess I got to go through with this now.
Oh, no. Anywho, Lakers are a mess.
Yeah, and now Luke Walton, who was on the brink of being fired, is apparently now a candidate for a second job opening.
For the Kings.
Yeah.
So I guess that, yeah, we can transition to talking about the Kings. So, you know, the Lakers, you know, yay, they did their stuff. The Kings this morning, it was announced that they gave Lottie Divac a three-year extension, four-year extension, a longer extension. And after Divac secured this extension, he fired their current general manager. He fired Dave Yoger, the head coach. He fired their head of PR. I forget his name. I think it's Chris Clark or something like that.
Yeah, I think I read something that was a mutual parting of ways for whatever right. reason.
But essentially, you know, Vladdy is like, this is all mine. This is my domain. I'm going to fire everyone. And everyone is fired. And now the Kings, you know, I think the Kings had a lot of flack for firing Yoger because this is one of the most successful seasons they've had in a long time. Honestly, Yoger basically has not gotten along with anyone in any stop that he's been on. So I don't fully blame the Kings, especially because I think they have some good names lined up for them that were announced. I think they said that they were going to pursue Ettore Messina.
Yep.
From the Spurs, which would be a good hire. And then Monty Williams was another name mentioned. And then obviously Luke Walton. I don't think Dave Yoger is just that fantastic of a coach that he's spectacularly better than any of those guys.
Yeah, I think what it was is people saying it's the Kings and it's the first close to winning season they've had in a while. And of course, now they go and fire their coach. And it's like, yeah, if it had been like any other franchise or most other franchises, it would have been even if it's not a move people love, it's a defensible one. And I think you're right. As long as you've got kind of like a plan in place for what the next coach is going to, you know, what the next, you know, coaching staff is going to look like, you're okay. And to your point, it sounds like a few of the names they've already mentioned as possible candidates are good ones.
Yeah. I mean, the candidates they've mentioned are far better than what the Suns did. So the Suns, again, moving on to another front office, the Suns announced that they were hiring Jeff Bauer, former Hornets general manager and coach, if you remember.
What a year.
What a year that was. Fun guy. And he was hired as the executive vice president of basketball operations. And then they decided they are retaining James Jones as general manager, which is weird all around.
Yeah, I mean, the only way this makes sense to me is if that position is just so toxic because of Sarver. I mean, that's
yes.
Otherwise, I don't. I mean, you have you have someone come in and clean up the mess and kind of build something from the ground up. It's that, like, that type of job we talked about on a prior podcast. It's like, that's a, that can be an appealing job for certain GMs, but if you just don't want to work for the guy in charge, their owner, then not much the Suns can do. And so that could have been playing a factor, but otherwise it's head scratching.
Yeah. It's head scratching is the right word. And I think the Timberwolves also did a similar thing in which they decided to keep the incumbent. They decided to keep Scott Layden, and then they decided to keep Ryan Saunders, who I think the players really like. But again, you have all of these organizations deciding to reinvest in the people that are already there. And these organizations all suck. They do. And it's like, you guys have sucked. You guys have sucked for years. So why are you keeping on promoting these guys or reaffirming these guys? Is it because no one wants to come work with you? Is it because, I mean, I guess it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? They suck because they keep doing things like this, right? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either, man. it is interesting that, like, there's a bunch of turnover in these historically bad organizations, and there's no one coming in, no fresh face that's coming in to kind of fix what has gone wrong. You would expect the fact that has been the case by and large for every team that's had some turnover today is kind of what's surprising. I mean, I feel like we keep talking about these names of, like, the game, all the names on the damn list for the Pelicans for a GM job, and just like, and some other, and same goes for head coaches. There are plenty of good options out there, but I think more we're speaking from a front office perspective. It's just teams just saying, oh, well, let's just run it back. Yeah, that's fine. We'll be okay. We'll just do things different this time.
Let's add another team to that list, the Grizzlies, yep. Who this morning, Chris Wallace, their GM, gave a press conference saying that, yeah, you know, they're going to plan on keeping their coach, Bickerstaff, and they're going to, you know, go for improvements next year, yada, yada, yada. Standard GM press conference basically saying we're going to run it back. And then it was announced the Grizzlies are basically reassigning him. They demoted him to a scouting role. And then there was someone else within the organization, someone named something Wexler. I forget his first name. In any case, they promoted him to president of basketball operations, and they fired Bickerstaff. But again, they promoted from within.
Which, like, can we hold on? Can we talk for a second about the fact that they demoted their general manager for years?
What?
You don't do that. Like, what's actually happening there? I'm curious. Because he sure as hell ain't taking a demotion after you've been the GM for – you were the grit and grind GM, and now you're just some dude. Like,
no, you know what's happening there? It's their owner who is – again, he's one of those crazy owners that doesn't get talked about enough in this league, but Memphis has historically been an extremely poor-run organization. Their owner is one of the worst in the league. And, you know, I think you just have to look at their draft record. Like, it's one of the worst draft records I've ever seen. Like, they have whiffed on basically everything. And then they doubled down on aging Marc Gasol and Mike Conley. Refused to trade Mike Conley, which I get it, you know, sentimental reasons and all that. They failed to move Tyreke Evans after, you know, benching him. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to trade him. And they were offered, I think, 2 second-round picks. They were offered some young players. They were offered quite a few things. And they're like, nah, you know, we're going to try to re-sign Tyreke, whose bird rights that we don't have with the MLE. And Tyreke's like, why would I want to play here? You know, you guys were one of the worst teams in the league, and you guys did me dirty. So I don't know. I don't think they have a single clue with what's going on organizationally. So, you know, explains a lot of things, but I don't know if I have, I mean, I don't know if I can throw all these teams under the bus and not look introspectively at the Pelicans and not see some of the same things.
The harsh, but until we see something different, I think it's fair. I mean, that's been our concerns from the start, I feel like. And so again, we haven't heard what the decision is. And even if it is ultimately keeping Danny Ferry, we don't know for sure if it really means nothing's going to change. But given what we've seen today, it's and what we've seen from the Pelicans in the past, it's definitely a fair concern.
Yep. That being said, we're going to dive into this topic on a deeper basis right after a word from our sponsors. Our next sponsor is Ethos Life Insurance. Life can be stressful, but getting life insurance shouldn't be. That's why there's Ethos. Ethos is a modern kind of life insurance that's super fast, incredibly affordable, and very uncomplicated. At ethos.com, there are no medical exams for policies covering under $1 million. No hours of paperwork or meetings with pushy representatives. It only takes 10 minutes to apply, and you can rest assured knowing you've taken the steps to protect your family, and in most cases with Ethos, you have that peace of mind for less than a cup of coffee a day, with no hidden fees. Having life insurance can free you from stress. Getting life insurance shouldn't cause it. Discover how uncomplicated life insurance can be at Ethos. Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to getethos.com. That's ETHOS. Getethos.com. Getethos.com. Okay, so welcome back. We are going to discuss the updates of the Pelicans GM search. Earlier this week, maybe it was a couple days ago, Jeff Duncan, who has, I guess, been the front runner of all news Pelicans GM search related, which is a little bit ironic, given all that we know about Jeff Duncan and his Pelicans coverage. But he's been the front runner of news, and he basically tweeted out that there are three candidates that are now finalists, which are Danny Ferry, David Griffin, and Gerson Rosas. And he said Rosas really impressed in his interview, but the Pelicans are a little bit apprehensive about his experience, and they're looking for someone who's been there, done that. And so it's essentially just between Ferry and Griffin. I wanted to get your thoughts first on if you think it's a fair assessment for him to, not him, for the Pelicans to say that Rosas doesn't have the experience. I mean, I think he's been with the Rockets for 17 years. He's the executive vice president. And two, is that, even if he didn't have the experience, is that an acceptable criteria to like eliminate a guy from?
So first point, I don't think it's bogus, but I don't think it's that much of a concern with him. Cause like you said, he's been with the Rockets, not just with the Rockets. He's been underneath a guy like Daryl Morey for years and right underneath him recently. And so like you learn a lot. I mean, you would think he learned a lot. And clearly by his interview process, they were impressed. So I think it stands to reason that he has learned a lot from his time in Houston. And so it's I struggle to rule him out because of a lack of experience. If you think it's because Griffin and Ferry have so much more experience that you just trust them more, that's one thing. Because the second question you asked, I think experience is absolutely a factor in a job like this. I mean, it's not just, there's so many different aspects of the job, whether it's player evaluation, negotiations, I mean, relationships around the league. Like there's so much you can leverage in a position like this. And I think experience does matter a bunch. Like you could have a up and comer, who's super bright, but I mean, there's just other elements to this job that make it that make someone successful doing it that you need to have. And so, I get it, and the Pelicans clearly don't want to miss on this hire, but you also have to wonder, and I have a feeling you're going to talk about this. Is that just kind of an excuse? Are they just laying the foundation to just keep the status quo and bring back Danny Ferry because he has quote unquote the experience?
I'm really glad you mentioned that. But first of all, I want to ask, like, the both Ferry and Griffin haven't been in a GM job for now, what, a couple of seasons? Ferry, like, 3 or 4. Griffin, maybe 2, 3.
Yep.
Where Rosas is, currently employed, has been under Maury for quite some time. So I know you can talk about experience, but at the same time, like, these guys haven't been GMs in some time. So I feel like that is something you have to consider. But second of all, I think you're 100% correct. I think it raises concerns. To me, here's what I'm apprehensive about. And first of all, I'm going to go on record saying this. I would be really, really, really surprised if the GM is not Danny Ferry. Like, very surprised. To the point where I'll pull a Schwann and make my own rap song if the GM is not Danny Ferry. And I don't want you to get me with the technicality if they make him president or something, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, like, I think Ferry is going to be the announcement whenever it comes.
That's exactly why I put, and I tweeted out earlier, I'll be shocked if the Pelicans' next lead decision maker isn't David Griffin or Danny Ferry, to avoid that whole concern.
Right. I think it's going to be him. And here's why. I think I am very concerned about the approach the organization has taken. I think that they did a good job hiring a consultant and bringing in names, but basically over the last couple of weeks, all the smoke that's been blowing has been blowing in Danny Ferry's direction. I think you see it when guys like Fletcher and Jeff Duncan are putting out puff pieces on Danny Ferry, trying to prime the public basically for what looks to be an inevitable decision, basically saying, hey, you know, this guy could be really good. Don't count him out for reasons X, Y, and Z, which is cool. Like, I think Ferry, the person, is probably very competent, and I think he has the potential to do a really good job. But what concerns me the most is when the Pelicans organization decides to hire Danny Ferry, I think they're doing it is because he's the easiest choice. They can rationalize it in terms of experience and argue that he's a big name executive, because that is what they said, right? They're gonna go for a big time executive to be the leader of their basketball operations. It's like, well, he's kind of been here for 3 years, so he could have done it at any point if he wanted to. I don't know if I buy that argument. So if you bring in Danny Ferry, they can try to sell it in that fashion. But what scares me the most is I think they have leverage over him. I think they have leverage over Danny, and they can exert the most amount of control on him, all while hiring someone that is experienced. Now, you can say, like, okay, if they hired a guy like Langdon, who would have been a first-time GM, he'd been inexperienced, they could exert control over him. Well, at the same time, you know, he does lack the experience that Ferry lacks. So it's like, okay, I understand that. But with Ferry versus Griffin, I think because Ferry has been out of the league for the reasons he was out of the league, it's not because he's not a competent GM. It's because of the incident in Atlanta. And I know that that incident was resolved. And I know that both the NBA's investigation and the Hawks' own investigation found no wrongdoing other than the actual repeating of the scouting report on Ferry's part and no pattern of racist behavior. It's a black mark in a league that's over 75% black. And I think because of that, Ferry hasn't had the opportunities to break back into the league, and this would be the first opportunity that he's getting. And the Pelicans, I think, know this, and I think they can use this to kind of put the same handcuffs on him that they had on Dell. That, to me, that is my biggest concern, is they're going to bring in Danny Ferry, then all of a sudden, you know, I think, you know, Alvin's probably gone as a coach, but you might see Alvin in a consulting position. So he's still around. And then what'll be most telling to me is if they bring in Ferry and like virtually no staff change is made. I'm sure Ferry will bring in one or two of his own guys. Rumor has that he already has. More on that later, at a later date. But I'm sure he'll bring in a couple of his own guys. I just – I'd be surprised if it was a total clean house like they were advertising. And I think that's the tell that I'm looking for is when you hire Danny Ferry, how much power is he going to have? Because if Alvin's still around the organization, if they end up hiring a coach from within, so if they end up promoting Urban or Finch, and then, you know, you don't hear about major staff turnover, then how different is it going to be from Dell?
Yeah, I mean, that's – and, you know, you can be damn sure if they hire a guy like Griff, he's not going to put up with that shit. And so, that's the question. I mean, if they're gonna hire Griff, there's going to be changes, widespread changes, because that's the only way he's going to agree to come to New Orleans is because, I mean, you look at – he's passed up some opportunities already, and if New Orleans is going to be the one he finally takes, he's going to have some power. And if New Orleans is comfortable with that, they're going to go the route of Danny Ferry because of all the reasons you said. And so it is concerning. It's not a total condemnation if they just hire him. I mean, it's really about what happens next. I mean, we'll see. I think the first thing we'll see is the Anthony Davis trade, what that looks like. And so they could be trading for pieces that are going to help more quickly than, you know, say Zion's not really an option. They end up going trading AD to Boston and getting, you know, Tatum Smart and whatever else. And I mean, that is a quicker path to relevance, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're being short-sighted. But if they, I mean, I think we'll be able to see pretty quickly over the course of the next, you know, the off season heading into the next season, what the trajectory is of this franchise, and has anything changed. And obviously whatever hires happen will help to dictate that as well. What the turnover is like in the front office or in the coaching staff. So there'll be signs. And so I just want to, you know, I completely agree with everything you said, but at the same time, I don't want people to just light the torches in March, because Danny Ferry was the guy they ended up hiring.
Again, like, I want to emphasize, there's probably nothing wrong with Ferry in a vacuum that we know of, right? Any hire that they're going to make, to me, it's always been about how are they going to enable him? How are they going to empower him? Are they going to truly let him be autonomous? And I don't think the answer to that is yes. I don't think they'll let anyone come in here and do a full teardown. I don't think they'll let anyone come in here and do a full rebuild, even if the rebuild is the best path that they need to take. I think they're going to push for the playoffs like they always have. And while that might not manifest itself in yearly first-round pick after first-round pick after first-round pick traded, but I think it might manifest itself in other ways. And I think when you take moves off of the table, it handcuffs a GM. And I don't think they see it as handcuffing, but it does. I think it's very much handcuffing. And I think if they hire Ferry, that's going to be the approach they take, because of everything I said, I think they exert more leverage. And I want, even in Gerson Rose's, when he briefly accepted a position in the Mavericks and he left them, the moment he realized, you know, like, he's not going to have the control that he wanted. So I don't think the Pelicans are a dumb organization. I think they realize if they hire Rose's, it's going to be similar to Griffin in terms of demands. They're going to have to empower him. They're going to have to enable him to do what he wants, which, again, it's entirely possible that they do go through with all these things with Danny Ferry. I'm going to take a wait and see approach, but nothing they have done historically points in that direction. Yep. And I just can't help shake the queasy feeling that they've kind of known all along that they're going to go with Danny Ferry.
Yeah, it's hard to I agree. It's hard given there are signs that we've seen over the last couple weeks that would indicate that. We won't know. Maybe we will at some point, but we certainly won't know immediately.
No, I don't think they'll ever go on record and be like, yeah, you know, Danny's always the guy that we wanted. You know, I think they're going to be like, yeah, we deliberated, we had great candidates, and Danny was the best of the best. Yeah. Which, I don't know. I don't think you can take anything they say at face value. You have to see through their actions.
We'll see. Maybe we'll probably get news as soon as we end our recording.
It'll be fun times. What if it was like someone? What if it was roses? What if it was like totally out of the blue and it was roses? You can get a rap track from me.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm gonna enjoy the rap track. It'd be cool if you and Ryan did one together.
I think Ryan Abear would want to do one too. I don't know. Those are my concerns with the GM situation. I'm still cautiously optimistic about the Pelicans' future. I think a lot of problems are going to solve themselves once Anthony Davis is traded. I still think, you know, even with all the handcuffs that Dell had on him, there were pathways to be great. And I think Danny will also have opportunities, and look, I'm acting like Danny's going to be the next person. I think the next GM will also have pathways and opportunities to be great. But I just don't want to hold my breath for wide sweeping changes. I would love it. I would celebrate, you know, when that happens.
Yeah. The nice thing, at least in the near term, is that I think as far as an Anthony Davis trade is concerned, there's going to, I hope at least there's going to be a clear best offer that you have to take. Because we could see real quick if there's, you know, if they take a kind of a subpar offer that gives them more players to help compete now versus what the true best offer is. Not that we'll necessarily know as much as we knew, say, when the Lakers were offering stuff to New Orleans. Hopefully that part is, while negotiations will be very strenuous, hopefully you get the best deal. You don't think twice about what type of deal it is versus like rebuilding versus players that are more NBA ready. So, but who knows?
Yep. You have any other topics you want to cover?
I think that's it. We've talked about all the Pelicans players and who we think will stay and go. We can do cap stuff at a later date.
I think we're just trying to drag this out and hoping for an announcement.
Yep, that is true. But
listeners, do yourself a favor and turn on Jeff Duncan notifications. You will not regret it. Yeah, you will, but you won't regret it.
For as long as it takes to hire a GM, then turn them off again.
I'd say next 24 hours.
yeah. And hey, if something happens in the next, like, you know, 30 minutes to an hour or so, we can always hop back on and talk for 5 minutes more about it. And you can, and it should make him tell everybody that I told you so and I'm not doing a rap.
Yep. Cool. Well, that's a wrap.